folks. All right, listen. I'm so not in the mood for you guys. You're blabbering on and on, okay? And it's enough, all right? It's enough. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, today's Monday, all right? So stop doing your stupid radio thing. And if you want to pick up where you left off tomorrow, at least it'll be Tuesday, all right? So just keep it down. Actually, don't keep it anything. Just stop, okay? Just stop doing what you're doing. Nah, nah, nah.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording from our studios at Meat House Fork. With me today, Wesley Coleman, and we are also going to have a Tomas rant. We've been promising it, and we got it. Matter of fact, I already got the file. We're going to have some words from Tomas. Matter of fact, I think this one deserves.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
We just re-signed Kawan Alexander. Now, listen, call me skeptical in the sense that I'm talking about all players. I don't want to hear about the undrafted free agent rookie being amazing at practice. I'm not trying to hear it. I'm not trying to hear about, you know, some quarterback in the offseason and some videos they made. I'm not trying to hear about a player who went out with a really bad injury and how he looks really good on these videos that they're putting out in the offseason. But Kawan Alexander, I mean, even if you're not a non-believer like I call myself, I look at those videos and I say, man, now I'm not a doctor. And what is he hiding? Meaning, okay, he can move, he can run straight forward. That don't mean he can cut. But then next week, there'll be another video and he's cutting. And I'm like, well, maybe he can cut, but he can't accelerate. Well, I don't know what it is he can't do, but I'm not seeing it. And the Saints kind of reaffirmed that by signing him today, which means, listen, I don't expect him to be on the field week one, but it means two things to me, Wesley. It means one, they think that he is on a path to recovery, and B, it means they drafted a couple of guys and they put him out there, and we better call Kawan up. What do you think?
Well, I mean, also on this, Dave, is I'm waiting to see when he's in pads tomorrow, but apparently he's been cleared to practice. Like, not really? Just signed to the team, but cleared to practice. So maybe he is a player week one. Like, this is, and again, Achilles injuries like what he had is a 10 to 11 month injury at least. And then we're talking about a guy whose entire premise of being good at football is based on his speed, explosiveness, and cutting. Like, that's what he's known for. He's a speed player, sometimes speed to the wrong area of the field.
Right.
Or right past the player that he needs to go. But this is what his game is based on. And again, I agree with you. We're watching these videos. I'm like, that doesn't look like a guy that tore his Achilles 6 or 7 months ago. He looks just as fast as ever. He's moving. He's making his one-handed interceptions, sprinting everywhere on the field. And then when we go, oh, okay, he visited the Saints but didn't sign. So clearly there's something else going on. He's not quite back. Today he gets a deal worth up to $3 million. Now, again, I'm going to say I don't think this has anything to do with Warner and Bond. I think the Saints are smart enough to try and keep a deep team. DeMario Davis loves Kwon Alexander. This is the new Ingram Kamara of a couple years ago, where they're playing off of each other and just love each other.
Yes.
And I really want to say, like, our defense, we've been worried about it. We've been talking about linebacker depth from our perspective as fans, what we think it is, and we don't think it's very deep. I think that linebacker might be a position of strength. If this guy's healthy now and can play week one, this looks like a good position, because apparently Warner's been playing really good and Bond's been okay.
Well, I agree with you in the sense that, listen, you if you have the money, you don't get to keep it. I guess you do get to kind of keep it, but we as followers of the team don't get to keep it. Fans don't get to keep it. So go ahead and spend it. I'm okay with it. at the end of the day, I can almost imagine. Now, keep in mind, we just heard about this. Now, matter of fact, you texted me and you said BS and Kwan. And I said, oh, my God, I immediately looked at my phone and I knew what you meant by it. And so I have no idea. I talked about whether or not he'll be prepared for week one. I have no idea if he's coming in on the help me out here, not the injured reserve, but the unable to the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list. I have no idea. So, but based on what you just said, he's been cleared to practice. I haven't heard anything, haven't read anything. So I don't have a whole bunch to add to that other than just the fact that he signed him. Listen, teams will wait till a guy is healthy before they sign him. It's a fact of the NFL.
You have to.
They don't re-sign guys until they have to. Now, they'll have preliminary discussions. They'll talk about numbers. They'll say, hey, we have you on the speed dial. Stay in shape. But they don't usually sign you until you can help the team. I have no reason to believe that. I mean, this is a very optimistic sign. Now, on the other hand, I would imagine that it can't be for much more than league minimum for a veteran and maybe some incentives. But at the end of the day, it's not going to hurt anybody.
They're
to
saying
sign
up to $3 million. Up to $3 million, but I think that's probably close to a veteran minimum, like you said. Probably a lot of bonuses if he plays more than 10 or 12 games, gets a certain amount of sacks. Up to $3 million.
I have to believe that. Okay, let's assume that it wasn't a season ending Achilles injury. Let's say it was a dislocated shoulder. I have to imagine whoever re-signed him would have some type of incentive laden contract, even if it wasn't an Achilles injury, it wasn't season ending. They would say, listen, his history, there needs to be an incentive. We'll sign you for league minimum. If you actually play 12, 14 games, if you play a whole season, we'll give you $4 or $5 million. He's a good football player.
And to not forget, Kwan Alexander he turned 27 today. This is still a young guy. It seems like he's older than that because of how many injuries we've heard of him having, but this is a guy that turned 27 today. And again, when the Saints traded for him, this is a guy set to make $13.5 million a year, not because of some weird – I mean, he was a big-time money linebacker that just has had injury problems. So if this guy comes in at, you know, $3 million and gets remotely healthy, I mean, this is a bargain deal for this year. And, I mean, again, on a young guy who's – I mean, hasn't even reached his physical peak necessarily yet.
Well, okay, so I had we talked about it. I didn't know how to title it, but we were going to have an update. We talked a lot about last week, and even we thought it was a little bit negative, but we weren't trying to be negative so much. We were saying, hey, listen, we have holes that we need to fill, and so we're going to update that, but it looks like linebacker. So should we talk about it now? Okay, I have update on filling holes with men or filling their hole. we're gonna work on the title.
Are you talking about the backside linebacker?
Yes, the backside linebacker, and maybe the end that we talked about. It looks like we're pretty deep there, so we're deep at end, backside linebacker. We'll work on the title of it, but we will give you an update on what we think.
Catch the balls, Dave. Catch the balls.
Whether we fill in these holes or not, looks like linebacker. And here's the thing: today in the reports, we heard Bond. Who, you know, I'm not trying to hear all the nonsense. If you're an actual football person, you don't run out talking about how Bond's a bust, and that's just nonsense. Right off the bat, they drafted a guy in the third round who was a defensive end. If you thought that he was going to come in last year and become a big time player, the Saints obviously drafted him on potential. Now, you add in the fact that he had no offseason, he had no real opportunity to practice a brand new position on a new level of competition. It's silliness, but we're starting to hear positive things, right? And so we also heard positive things about Pete Werner. And so I don't think this means that there's a problem at linebacker. I think that the Saints have an opportunity to sign a good ball player at a low risk price. And it gives those young guys a little bit more opportunity to develop. Now I do have some, I don't want to call it concerns, but I'd like to see those young guys get some snaps, because here's the thing. As much as we love DeMario Davis, he is not a young player. He's an older guy. Hey, you can complain about Bond not getting a shot, but there's a path to Bond being, let's say, a middle linebacker and Werner being your weak side linebacker 3 years from now, when DeMario Davis is gone and you know, I don't want to, Alexander has two or three more injuries and he's out of the league. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but we're just talking about, you know, we're gambling here. We're talking about percentages, but there could be your two inside linebackers of the future. So don't be down on those guys. Good reports coming out of camp. I think that either one of them could be someone who can play this year, but let's look towards the future.
Yeah. And I mean, first of all, you're talking about Bond today. Is the first interception that anybody, yep, any defensive player has gotten in practice all preseason. And it was Zach Bond gets the first interception on for anybody from the defense. Now, to be fair, he intercepted Ian Book throwing to Tommy Lee Lewis, maybe neither one who should be in the NFL. And then, I mean, talking about depth, Andrew Dowell is getting all kinds of pub about jumping up all over the place. And I mean, again, playing with the second and third and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, you play against who you play against, and he's been making flashes. There's a few, these younger guys on in multiple positions that we're hearing about making some flashes.
Well, okay. So again, I'll go back to what I said before. And I used to argue with Tomas about this. I've seen this too many times. Now you're not going to make the team and you're not going to have the potential to contribute in the future if you're not doing those things.
Right.
So it's not that it's a negative. That's a positive. I just don't get too excited about it. I'm not trying to hear about you know, and I know that's not what you're trying to say. I'm just simply saying that it's one of those things I don't get too excited about because I'm like, you know, let a guy like that has to earn it. But there, let's talk about adding before we move on, adding depth to position. So, yo, wait.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
More breaking news over the weekend. The Saints signed, and I think I may get this wrong. Is it Devontae? Yeah, because I know there's, anyway, confusion about how his first name is pronounced. Devontae Freeman, who was, hate him if you like. He was an Atlanta Falcon, but he was an outstanding football player. I mean, he's a shifty guy, but he runs with power. He runs with speed. He's a good receiver, but he got injured a lot. And what I say about these types of players, and I'd say it about Alvin Kamara, as much as we love the guy, if you give him too many touches, eventually smaller guys will wear down. It's just the nature of the beast. So now this opens up opportunity for help me out.
Ty Montgomery to move.
Thank
to
you. Ty Montgomery to play wide receiver where we might be a little light. And now we pick up a guy that, listen, you know, I don't think you want him to have 15 touches a game, but if he gets 3 or 4 or 5 touches a game, maybe even does some special teams returns. And then, you know, listen, if 2 or 3 games, he has to come in there and get 15 carries or 15 touches. That's not a bad thing. It's just, I don't know if any team wants to go into the season with him counting on him to get, you know, 300 touches in a season. So I think that was a great signing. And another thing that I found a little, I don't know if it's just basically knowing your crowd and playing to that crowd, but all he was talking about is how much he loved the Saints. He's always been a fan of the Saints. He it's a dream come true for him. Now, is he embellishing?
So I saw the quote and was like, okay, that's what you got to say. And you're an Atlanta Falcon. Screw you. I mean, now, but again, I agree with the talent side of it. And I was like, man, if this guy's healthy, Kamara, Latavius Murray, and Devontae Freeman's the best running back room in the NFL. I'll fight anybody on that. There's not a better running back room in the NFL if he's healthy.
Wesley Coleman with the hot take.
Hot. Then, so I read the quote, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. I went back and I watched the video of him saying it, and I believe him. He was giddy, giggling to himself in front of the media about how he felt wearing black and gold. He's like, first of all, I love these colors. And when I played for the Falcons, this was our Super Bowl every year. So I was always excited about it. Like, I didn't look at it as a rival if I hate him. I look at him as I was excited to play against them. He's like, and I became a Saints fan because I love these colors, loved visiting here, and love the hype of the games. And I normally would think of just reading the quote, I thought it was a complete, like, just, you know, pandering to your crowd.
Right.
I really believe him after watching the video. I watched it twice and I was like, man, this guy's actually super happy to be here. And then we hear Peyton yesterday or today talking about Montgomery. Montgomery's working as a receiver. He does not want Montgomery to be a running back. He is not just because of their depth, but that's where they think he fits. Ty Montgomery is working towards that. And that's kind of what we thought when we signed Devontae Freeman, is the thing that kind of made sense.
Yeah. And I just think it's a good fit for the team. And I think that's a strong statement to say the best running back room in the league, but hard to argue, especially if Freeman is healthy. And there's no reason to believe he had a whole, what I mean, did he play last year?
He did. He played for the Giants. He came in, he played when Saquon Barkley got hurt. He had some flashes. I remember watching a couple games where he looked kind of explosive, and then he got injured as well. I think he only played 7 games last year or something like that, but he was still explosive. He's 28 years old. He's still a young guy.
Still young
all guy. The time in the league.
I think, I don't know. I'm excited about the depth. So now we talked about another guy, another signing. I'm not going to hit the breaking news though, but Prince Amukamara. Did I say it right?
You got nailed it.
I nailed it. Nailed it. Wait, I nailed it. I was going for the clap, but I got the laugh. Okay, I think they're laughing because I don't usually get it.
You're
right.
Not in mid-season form yet.
Yep, not
yet. Gotta learn the buttons.
But again, he's another guy. He's a veteran corner, and I don't know if he has a spot on the team. But I do think that it's important to get some options, see what's out there. I'm a little disappointed. And I think you're probably better versed to talk about these other cornerbacks that are still available that haven't signed, that, you know, it's a little bit of a question mark why the Saints haven't pursued them, just simply because, I mean, maybe they don't fit, but at some point, I don't know if we have a number two cornerback on the roster. Now, okay, I like Patrick Robinson. I'm concerned about Patrick Robinson being a 17-game starter. I'm concerned about that. Then I think to myself, trying to maybe a little bit of the fan coming out in me when I say, well, I want to see the rookie Adabo play, get some, did I get that one wrong?
Adebo.
I want to see Adebo get some playing time, get some experience. So I think to myself, okay, you know, if Patrick Robinson gets, 70% of the snaps and Adebo gets, 30%, and then he's grooming, maybe, if he is as skillful as we think he is, maybe by the end of the season, he's the starter. And Patrick Robinson, thank him for his diligent work and put him back at that number three corner where he comes off the bench. If you remember last year, he played very well in filling in for injured players.
I mean, Patrick Robinson played great through the preseason, whatever that looked like last year. And the coaches were really excited about him. And then with spelling injuries, he looked good until he, gets hurt himself. I think there's still a cornerback that's going to be signed by the Saints. Amukamara is, I think, 32 years old. So bringing him in is at least somebody with some veteran experience. No matter what, him being able to talk to the younger guys and, there's something I'm sure he can help with. The fact that he was on Arizona's practice squad last year all year as a 31-year-old maybe doesn't get me too excited about him.
Right.
Now, having said that, Paulson Adebo has apparently played inside and outside this so far and has looked really good. Today was the first day in pads, and they're saying that because putting pads on, you're allowed to be a little more physical, was his best practice so far that he's had. He had a couple of pass breakups, and they said that he also played on special teams and looked really good over there. So the physicality of having pads on is going to be good for him. I agree with you, though. I don't necessarily think this is where the cornerback depth chart ends. I think that we signed somebody else. I still think Conley's out there, which is a smart signing for us. These guys have to be holding out, thinking that they're waiting on an injury so they can either get a starting job easier, or they're waiting on somebody to pay them. There's a couple of guys that are just not going to sit out the season, though. They're going to play.
Right. And now, what are the percentages? What do you think the percent chance is that these guys just know that a team like the Saints will go into training camp and you convince yourself, if you're the Saints management, that we have solutions on the roster. Then a couple of weeks into training camp, you realize that maybe you don't, and then his price tag goes up. So what do you think that percent chance is?
I think it's a good percentage chance that happens with somebody. I don't know if I believe that it's the Saints. The Saints have drawn a really hard line in the sand on what they think players are worth, and they typically do not sign them out of desperation, even if they have the money available, whether they don't have the money available, they kind of draw a hard line on that most of the time. So I think that they'll probably hope that the player falls back to them versus the other way.
All right.
And so I really do believe the Saints coaching staff believes in Patrick Robinson. They sound like they do.
And I believe it too. I mean, look, he's one of those guys where, remember when Coach Payton was really high on Josh Hill after we lost Jimmy Graham? So sometimes you do, maybe there's something there we just haven't seen yet. They haven't unleashed it. But I've seen Patrick Robinson play. I know that some people may still remember when he played here his first go round. He went away. He got better. He improved. Then he came back, and I watched him play, and he played well. I still have concerns, as I said before, about his durability. So that concerns me, but I have no reason to believe they're not 100% serious when they say, hey, and that to me, if I see it, I know they see it. So I think that they have intentions of letting him start as the rookie finds his way. And then
the last thing too, we're talking about cornerback. We can't not say Lattimore's name. Two things about Lattimore. One, apparently he has been dominating just about every drill that he's done against every receiver. And then second of all, he did say they asked him about his pending case, and he said he has not been contacted by anybody from the NFL a single time yet. So he has absolutely knows nothing if there's any kind of pending.
I forgot about that. That's good news, because it could be that this is a legal type situation that drags on.
Yes.
For months, and hopefully into the off season, where hopefully there's a good outcome. So, who knows how it's going to turn out. But here's the segment that we talked about where we haven't come out with a name. And I think I'm just going to leave it at that. So last week we talked about the numerous holes that the Saints have that they need to find someone to step up in those positions. Wide receiver. I don't know if we have anybody who's going to step up in a meaningful way, in the sense that I like Smith. I always have. I think I kind of downgraded him last week when I said that he'd be – one of you guys made the comment that he'd be an amazing number three. And I saw that and I agreed with it when you have two Pro Bowl receivers and he's just the third guy making plays. But then, I think that means I downgrade him, because I do think that he can be a number two. Having said that, I don't see him being a guy that draws attention. So without a number one, and there is nobody who's going to step up and be that number one now. Can the Saints manufacture offense using Kamara now that they have Freeman? Is there some things that you have to believe that played into the signing of Freeman to say we can now use Kamara more as a receiving threat? And obviously not as a split out wide, but, a guy in the slot to make plays. And I remember Seattle for all those years when they had a great running game. They were not a team that was dependent on wide receivers. They didn't have a strong wide receiver in core. But they threw to their backs, they threw to their tight ends, and they ran the ball. And I wonder if the Saints aren't trying to look at things from that perspective. So give me your thoughts on any news that you're hearing or anything that you're seeing from the wide receivers that would give you optimism that that the Saints are going to be okay.
Sure. So we have to say that Tre'Quan Smith left practice early today with some sort of injury. We don't know what it was, but he
walked off on his own power.
We did walk off on his own power, but we don't know what that is. But hopefully we know in the next couple of days that's not a big deal. Surprisingly, and I think we all kind of made a joke about it last week. And, we try to have our Saints-colored glasses on and get excited and saying, hey, I've seen Chris Hogan make some plays before. But he was in the lacrosse league. It sounds like he might have been the most consistent wide receiver we've had at practice this week, in the past 2 weeks. He's made a bunch of catches. I think he's had seven catches. He made four catches today. He's flashed with all the different quarterbacks. And so we've kind of heard that. We've also heard Deontay Harris's name a whole bunch with some deep passes, and we've Callaway and Kawan Baker keeps flashing up too. It's weird for us, because I can't tell you if any of these guys where they deserve to be just on pedigree and NFL experience and stuff like that. But we are seeing flashes where we need to. And it apparently, whether this is good for offense or defense, we are getting a lot of deep balls. We're throwing a lot of deep balls in practice too. And apparently Kamara, I've seen a couple of things saying like that he definitely still looks like Alvin Kamara and looks like one of the best football players on the planet. He still is making people look stupid and doing everything he's supposed to do. I think that there's definitely going to be a real good mixture this year of a true West Coast looking offense that's going to get the ball short around to receivers. I think that's where Devontae Freeman comes in is important. Some of these smaller, quicker receivers that we're trying to get the ball to, Ty Montgomery and people like that, we just want to get the ball in their hands. And then we are going to mix in some deep passes and try and get safeties to come up towards the line to stop the run or stop those little swing passes. And then we're going to run past them. I think there's going to be a lot of it. I think it's going to be exciting. It's going to be the Saints offense that we saw years ago. I really think it's going to be a return to form there.
Okay, so Hogan. First off, I'm like, okay, I know the guy. I know him. He's been a player in the league. Some guy you see on ESPN on the highlights. So, but I didn't know enough about him. So I started doing some research and find out that he was a good sized guy at 210, 6'1", 6'2". And you know, he can run. I mean, he's a 4.4 guy. I was surprised to see that. I guess in my mind, maybe it's because he played with the Patriots. I thought it was a Wes Welker type thing. It's so I just assumed that he was another car. You know, he's just another guy that's coming in that's going to run some good routes. But the guy is an all around good receiver. Now, having said that, I'm sorry. I have a lot of respect for NFL teams. I know fans like to convince themselves they know more than what the, you know, right off the bat, you might know football, but if you don't have all the information, there's a reason why he was playing lacrosse. And again, can't figure out what it is, because it almost makes me worried that if he steps off the street, he wasn't on the practice squad, he didn't play with us last year or the past, steps off the street, and the guy looks to be one of the more consistent, if not the most consistent receiver on the roster, that makes me start asking other questions.
The team he left was more wide receiver needy than we are right now.
That's incredible. Like,
I mean, seriously.
I don't know what to make of it. And so it makes me a little nervous, but I don't want to read into things just to read into things. But, you know, you have to explore that option. Now, the next thing, I'm going to bring up Harris and I'm going to bring up Smith in the same way. And look, I can't help but criticize the people who do not understand or accept that Drew Brees' offense was run a certain way, and not everybody was capable of playing well in that offense. The thing you heard about Smith, you heard him say it, you heard the coaches allude to it, is that he wasn't a precise guy. Okay. He's not a, I talked about it. And matter of fact, I'd like to clear this up. Matter of fact, you said something and someone else asked me about me saying that Smith wasn't a tough guy. What I mean by that is not that he's not tough, because he has demonstrated toughness. I remember, I think it was just last year, he took a hit and got his helmet knocked off, caught the ball, you know? So I remember another play where he caught the ball 7 yards short, fought through a couple of guys, spun and made an amazing play for a first down. The guy's tough. I'm not suggesting he's not tough, but you know, there are just some guys like who just aren't, they aren't Thomas. They aren't, you know, beast mode when he was in his, they're good players. Like, I don't necessarily think that, like, Kamara's a tough guy, but he's not a guy that, you know, he's tough. He's just not a guy that runs over people all the time and intimidates them with his strength and power. He's more of a finesse guy. So there's different types of players. That's what I meant by that. Having said that, get back to the point here. Smith is known for not being necessarily precise. Smith is not necessarily known for being a guy that likes to work around the linebackers. Smith is actually known for his speed and downfield ability. He's not the same player with a different quarterback back there is really where I'm going with this. So I think that you could see a better player in Smith, because I don't necessarily think that either Winston or Taysom are precision quarterbacks who need you to be at exact certain place at exact certain time. We've heard Coach Payton complain about guys having like being wrong about 1 yard in their split. That's precision. Drew Brees is a short guy. He needs you to be at a spot and he's going to throw it there. If you're not at that spot, the ball's going to be there anyway. So there are things that are going to make him better. The next guy is Harris. Harris is not a big guy. The Saints offense was almost forced to use him on tunnel screens short because we couldn't utilize his speed. What happens when a little guy like that is around a lot of bodies flying around, every once in a while he makes some people miss, makes a big play, and it looks amazing. Sometimes linebackers from Tampa Bay catch him and can put him out of the game. He's going to be a different player with different quarterbacks, and I'm excited about seeing him. Now, none of these guys are going to replace Thomas. They're not. But they are elements that will still be exciting. And I told you already, Baker, I'm a fan of his. For what reason? I have no reason. Just, you know, I get to be like everybody else, pick somebody that just kind of, for whatever reason, they struck my fancy. And he's starting to do things. They were talking about him being a tough guy. Someone contests balls. He ran the ball quite a bit in college. He was playing with high school kids in college. But he's a tough guy. He's a strong guy. He's a big kid. So, you know, I think the West Coast elements are going to be important because now, you know, we have Ty Montgomery who played running back, meaning he'll catch the ball and he's not scared to get hit. You have a guy like Baker. Callaway, I've heard a bunch of good stuff about him. I said I want to wait and see because I don't believe he set the world on fire last year, but he played well and he earned some playing time and he earned some credibility. He looks like he might be taking a step in his second year. So optimism, but I'm still reluctant to say that we're good until we have someone. You have to have a number one, a guy that commands attention, and it's going to be quite a bit before we see one of those on the field.
I think there's going to be some definite elements that Sean Payton's going to be creative with the receivers and the offense this year. It looks like we're getting pretty consistent here with we're bringing in some receivers that have some special team college special teams experience, whether it's punts or kickoffs. So these are guys you get the ball in their hands and they run around people, they run through people, they look for contact. I mean, Callaway, Baker, Harris, these are guys that moved on, played big times on special teams. Callaway is a guy they were not scouting, had no interest in looking at. They were watching his teammates and saw him on special teams. And they're like, oh, what's this? I mean, and they drafted him, brought him in undrafted as a special teams player. Didn't know if he was going to play wide receiver. So, I mean, these are people that we are looking for, ways to get the ball in their hand, get them to move around. I think that, and again, these speed guys, we are focusing on a little bit of size and speed besides, you know, Harris. We got size and speed combinations. These are guys that we can get them the ball in front of a defender, see if they can break a tackle, do that enough, and then get them behind a defender. And we'll have quarterbacks that have an arm that can get the ball downfield. I think, again, I agree with you. I think there's going to be a lot of different looks to our offense this year. And I trust Peyton. He's been able to go 8-1 with backup quarterbacks. I think he'd much rather have a whole bunch of second and third receivers than a backup quarterback. I think he'd rather have a good cornerback or quarterback and replace some receivers and just get the ball in their hands.
And matter of fact, you talk about playing with backup quarterbacks. What game was it last year where Callaway, and I can't remember who the other starter was, Callaway, because both Smith and Thomas were out.
Yes, there was a Sanders, Thomas, and Smith were all out.
That's right. I forgot about
in Chicago. Chicago. Yes. There was two games in a row where Thomas and Sanders were both out, and then the third one there where Smith was also out. Yes,
right.
And
so
we won.
Yeah, and now here, listen. You don't want to go into every game trying to figure out a way to get it done. Some games you just want to get it done. And it just makes everything harder. But having said that, if you have a healthy roster of guys that we're talking about here, I think you can get some stuff done. And keep in mind, I actually lose sight of this sometimes with David Onyemata and with Thomas. They will be back. They're not done. We didn't trade them. We didn't lose them for the season. And matter of fact, you know, especially with David Onyemata, he's going to come back fresh, you know, and you say, hopefully he'll be, maybe this is just me putting the black and gold color glasses on, you know, game 17 on Onyemata's still going to be fresh, you know? So let's hope that these guys come back and they will fill out these positions to bring them to the next level. But the last position, we talked about cornerback, we talked about linebacker, we talked about wide receiver, defensive tackle. Now that's the one position where I'm looking at the roster. I'm looking at who's available, and I just cannot even find my way to believe in that we have solutions there. Now, I worry you can find a lot of guys to stop the run. You know, some better than others, obviously, but it's the pass rush. But I'm looking at guys like Passano. I'm looking at even two firsts. God, who else am I thinking? Cam Jordan. These guys can rush the passer from the inside. So I don't know if we're losing as much, except for, you know, you want a guy that can play the run and rush the passer, because you're not always going to be in third and eight where you know that they're going to, you know, or maybe they pass the ball on second and five. You want to have someone who's disruptive in the middle and can stop the run. And I don't know where I see that without David Onyemata on the field.
Yeah, I agree with you. I got to think, and like we talked about last week, I think that Peyton Turner stays on the outside. And I think that you probably got to keep Davenport out there too, with just a good rotation. We are hearing, I mean, again, it's the start of training camp, but we've been hearing Jalen Dalton's name quite a bit. I mean, and this is a 6'6", 300-pound man who's been athletic. If that guy's figuring it out and how to shed blocks and all, and just plug up the middle, I mean, that's a big old guy sitting there in the way. Passignon, we've heard his name a couple of times. I know Jordan's been kind of on that veteran practice schedule where he's right. he's posting on Twitter like he's really fired up about training camp, but he's been taking he's been getting the forced couple of days off. He keeps posting on Twitter every night like, got to stop watching the Olympics, going to bed early, got practice tomorrow. And then they're like, Cam Davenport given the day off, or Cam Jordan given the day off by Peyton. I'm like, you knew last night when you were saying you were going to bed early that you were off today.
But
so we're going to have to see this against another team. Like I really am. This is where I'm excited to watch a preseason game.
Right.
I'm going to just stare at the defensive line the entire time, the defensive interior. I believe that the combination of Jordan, Davenport, Granderson, and Turner is going to have our defensive ends looking good. And those four together is going to be a deadly rotation that's going to get some pressure on the quarterback. If these guys in the middle can just do their job and plug the run, hold people up so that keep Alexander and DeMario Davis clean. Like if we're talking about those being our two running back or two linebackers, those guys can tackle running backs if you can keep offensive linemen off of them.
Yes.
So Alexander, where he has problems in pass coverage and there's things he does wrong, he is great against the run and, I mean, going and getting the running back. So if you can get these defensive linemen to just hold their damn ground, this is a guy that will be a heat-seeking missile going into the backfield. I got to see it. I really want to see this against another team. Like, we're hearing good things, like I said, about Dalton and Tuttle both having good practices. We're going to have to see it. But so far, and hey, Turner and Davenport, I know we're talking about defensive tackles. Turner and Davenport are both getting their names called a whole lot. Davenport's been mentioned every single day as far as making some sort of play and looking really good. So hopefully
Turner, now he's a guy that while he's athletic, and we've talked about that till, you know, we're tired of talking about it, but he's the type of guy that when you put the pads on, and on Tuesday they put the pads on, he put them on and all of a sudden you heard his name quite a bit and people saying, man, he really looked good. Because some guys, listen, if you're a power oriented player, it's hard to show off your skill set when you don't have pads on. So what happens is all the little quick, fast guys dominate. And then when you put pads on, you put a pork chop on those guys, they slow down a little bit. So it's exciting to hear that he's much further along than Davenport was as a rookie, as a pass rusher. So that's exciting to hear. And he's a big, strong guy. And I want to comment on something that you said about watching preseason. I bet most people never really thought about it. Me personally, I look at things sometimes like, I've been watching Saints football so long, I've just lost interest in preseason. But the fact of the matter is, for the last several years, what are you watching? You pretty much know who's the roster on the roster. Right. You know who can do what. If a guy doesn't make a play, you know, it's just because he's just playing. And even if, you know, even if you, like, I want to evaluate some stuff, are you really getting a fair evaluation of Cam Jordan in preseason? You're not. So it just got to the point where you realize it's kind of like, nah, you know, the only thing that's exciting about it is like, oh, it's the beginning of the season. But this preseason, year,
we got questions.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of stuff.
We need answers, Dave.
Yeah, I want to see some stuff. But I'm going to say it probably won't be much different. You won't get any answers, but at least you'll be like, I'm trying to find out some answers because there are questions out there I need to know. So
I did see a thing today. I saw a thing today that I was going to excited to tell you about because I saw Davenport made two of the biggest one-on-one plays today that they've seen in camp. He won two big one-on-ones. And so I saw the tweet. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to send it to Dave. And then I keep scrolling down. Another person put Davenport two big wins and one-on-ones against Ethan Greenidge. And I'm like, never mind. I'm not going to tell.
That's the biggest problem with practicing against your own team is that you hear names and you get excited because you want them. You mentioned Baker, my guy. I can assure you that he wasn't doing that against Lattimore. So the point is that, as I said, you can't do it on game day eventually if you don't do it in practice sometimes. So it's good to hear that those guys are doing well and making plays. Now, I want to talk to you about our tight end situation before we go. But before we do that, we need to get a few words from our old buddy Tomas. So hang on there. Let's bring Tomas in.
Oh my God, it's going to blow.
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow.
I have opinions.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
That's going to mean anything to me.
It's going to blow. It's going to blow.
My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up.
And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
Greetings, fellow Hoodats. Welcome back to another season. So happy to be with y'all here at BS and Beer. And, you know, my friends are always talking about different things, including, lack of players, right? Woe is me, we don't have any wide receivers. Woe is me, we don't have any defensive backs. Woe is me, we don't have any defensive tackles. Well, I'm not a woe is me guy. But I do want to talk about something that I don't think a lot of people are giving consideration to. And that is, you know, we have a big change in coaching staff. You know, we can talk about all the players that are missing. But what about the difference that these new coaches will make with the players that are here? We have a new quarterback coach, Ronald Curry. Fits in perfectly with the whole idea we have a new quarterback, doesn't it? Ronald Curry, 16-year coaching vet, and he's a former player. And how about offensive line coach, Brendan Nugent, 16-year vet. And his assistant, Zach Strief, 12-year vet. Now, you know it's going to be a difference. It's going to make a difference because Zach has that experience. Then you have a new offensive analyst, Jim Chaney. 36 years the guy's been in coaching, but first one as the offensive analyst for the Saints. And finally, a coach that I think is going to make a world of difference is a secondary coach, Chris Richard. Now, you know, you look at all of these coaching changes, and I think of it in positive terms. As I said, we have a new QB coach. Could do wonders for both of the quarterbacks we have that are fighting for the opening of the season, but maybe even as well with the kid that we just drafted from Notre Dame. I'm really interested in seeing the effect of the offensive line. I think that we have the potential to have one of the greatest offensive lines in a long time in the NFL. And with that additional experience background of Zach Strief, I think it'll make a world of difference, especially to the young kids that we have on the offensive line. The young guy that we got here from Kentucky, Landon, I think that'll make a big difference for him. And as I said before, I think the biggest difference to me, I think, is going to be the secondary coach. I think if you watch the interviews that we've had so far in the first few days of training camp, you'll notice the attitude. Malcolm Jenkins, to me, having the experience back there, but he's also saying some things about how it's different. And I think it's going to be. And of course, my boy that everybody makes fun of me, Crawley, you know, maybe it could be that Crawley can do something worthwhile. And who knows how long before the rookie takes over. You just never know what's going to happen. As I've been saying for me for this year, expect the unexpected. That's my saying this year for the Saints. The other part I wanted to talk about, special teams. You know, we're going to have a changing of the guard and special team. I think it's a lot to ask for a kid to come in who was on, hidden away last year, basically, on injured reserve or whatever you want to call it, Gilligan. Now, coach says he's been booming the ball, doing great. But, you know, there's a difference between hitting the ball when there's nobody in your face and hitting the ball when they're trying to, you know, decapitate you. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. I'm really concerned. You know, see, other people concerned about wide receiver or defensive back or linebacker. I mean, basically everything on the defense people are concerned about. For me, I think my biggest concern with the Saints right now has to be the special teams unit. not only in the perspective of having a new young kicker, but also, you know, we've let go a lot of people that were on the special teams unit that were really the core of it, right? And so now we have to hope that some of the new people we bring in can make a big contribution on special teams. To me, I think special teams is a real significant issue this year with the team. All right, so I've given you some of the high points there, I think, of what I'm looking at for this year. Now, let's go ahead and get into the ones that people keep talking about, shall we? On the defense, our defensive line has really great players, in my opinion. I believe that the coaching staff, our defensive line coach is the guy. I really think they're going to figure out a way to cover all the bases while Onyemata is on suspension. And might even be surprising to see what they come up with as far as the defensive line pressure and stopping the running game comes up. Also, linebacker. I think we're going to be surprised by this kid that we drafted, Werner. I really think he's going to be on the ball from the very beginning. And you add to that, I mean, there's still a possibility that we sign the guy that made a difference last year and makes a difference again this year once he's fully healthy. And if we can just spot play him, then all the better. So I think that linebacker, we're looking pretty good. I think defensive line, we're looking pretty good. Okay. Now, as much as my friend Heath doesn't care for Marcus Williams, I think Marcus Williams is going to be just fine playing safety. Between him and Jenkins back there, I think they're going to do, you know, a good deal of coverage that will keep everything in front of them. So now let's talk about the defensive backfield, because that's the only thing that's left. So it comes down to cornerback. Now, we just signed a couple more over the weekend. They will be signed, hopefully, depending on who they cut. I don't know who they're going to cut since they're at 90. But, you know, we're going to have a lot of guys back there competing for defensive back, for cornerback. And Lattimore, well, hopefully he'll just get fined and he won't have any suspension time. So that leaves one corner really open. And as much as my friends make fun of me with my belief in Ken Crawley, I still have belief in him. I still think he can do a reputable job at the corner. Maybe not every down, but then again, we have enough cornerbacks that we can play situational football. We have done it in the past where we played three safeties. Heck, we could play even more than that. So I think that from a defensive perspective, I think we're not that bad off. Not nearly as bad off as people think at cornerback. Let's go to the offensive side. On the offensive side, we have nothing to worry about for the line. As a matter of fact, there are a couple of guys who look like real players in the future. I think we're going to have a really, really good offensive line. Matter of fact, I don't know if our guy who keeps coming and going and the LSU representative there, Will Clapp, I don't know if he's going to make the team this year. Really don't. So one of the areas of concern for people is the tight end. We have a young kid, Troutman, looked really good last year, seemed to be picking it up pretty good. I think that he's going to be a surprise. I think that the offensive game plan is going to change. You know, let's face reality. You know, I love Drew Brees to death. I know we all do. And he's been an incredible part of the Saints organization for several years now. But truthfully, the last couple of years, Drew either being banged up or just, you know, age catching up with you. Drew didn't have that same ability that he did when he, you know, we went all the way to the Super Bowl. So I think the offensive game plan now is going to change. You have two guys who can throw the ball. And so I see that Peyton is going to put some different things into the playbook. In particular, I think he's going to put a lot more to the tight end position. So I'm looking for Troutman to really have an outstanding year this year. Wide receiver. Well, you know, Tomas, we don't have a number one wide receiver, right? Huh? Yeah, we don't have a number two either. I mean, you know, Traquan, he's like a number three, maybe. Well, I beg to differ. I happen to like Callaway a lot. And I think that Traquan will be a different player with a different quarterback. And then we have Deontay Harris, and we have a couple of other guys, you know, fighting for some more spots on there. So let me throw this out at you. I think that perhaps we could go with another wide receiver. Let me throw three names out there to you and see what you think. My three names are Tim Patrick of the Broncos, Christian Kirk of the Cardinals, and JoJo Smith-Schuster of the Steelers. Something to think about. All right, my friends, my time is up. I got no more time. I only had a few minutes, but that should get us started for the new year. I'm looking forward to it. Also looking forward to hearing my friends talk about what I just said. Thanks so much for listening to my comments.
Later. The opinions expressed by Tomas do not necessarily reflect the thoughts and views of David Romero or the BS and Beer podcast. And David's silence should not in any way be mistaken for agreement on the subject. Sometimes we just have to get on with the show.
All right, there you go. Our good buddy Tomas, always interesting. Before we go, Wesley, let's talk a little bit about a couple of things. One, our tight end situation, Juwan Johnson, and he's a big kid, can catch the ball. We knew he can. And now it's starting to be where we're seeing his name pop up. What do you think is going on there?
I liked it hearing his move to tight end. One, he's a kind of a interesting guy. I follow him on Instagram. He's kind of a funny guy. He's really silly. Him and his wife always posting goofy videos. So he seems like a smart guy and somebody that I would like to do well. But he's a big physical guy that looks like he'd make more sense as a tight end if he'd put on just a little bit of weight or even stay the size he is. Him moving to tight end made a lot of sense. I really like it. I got excited about it because with his athleticism and size, sounds like a good combination. Here's what we're seeing so far. So today was the first day in pads. So what we've had so far is a little bit of shells, a little bit of, you know, just helmets. And he is super athletic. He's bigger than whoever's covering him. He's faster than whoever's covering him. He's catching the ball. What we don't know is if he can block at all as a tight end. And that's what we're going to find out over the next couple of weeks is he's doing the part we thought he could do or knew he could do from his experience.
Yeah.
Catching the ball. Let's see if he can actually play tight end. I'm excited about him. I don't know if this is concerning or something to be happy about. I think I've read his name more than I've read Troutman's name so far. For sure. Now that doesn't like throw up any red flags necessarily about Troutman. I'm excited about him. It's a big guy that I think we'll figure out a way to get the ball to, but for better or worse, Juwan Johnson's name has been out there quite a bit as far as making plays all over the field.
Let me give you my perspective on Troutman. I do not expect Troutman to be an all-world tight end. I don't expect him to be Jimmy Graham. What I do expect from him is to be a very good blocking tight end and a guy that's a very reliable. And again, I don't want to make this sound like I think he's a guy that if you throw him the ball, he'll probably catch it. I'm talking about a very good receiver. I think that what happens is when we get overly excited about people, Jimmy Graham. But here's the problem. Jimmy Graham was a very good receiver, obviously. He wasn't a very good blocker. So I don't think that Troutman is going to be that level of receiver. Now, that don't mean that he can't be a very good, impactful receiver, but he's going to be a much better blocker. So I guess where I'm going is if one guy's a 10 receiving and a 5 blocking, another guy's an 8 blocking and an 8 receiving, you know, you still coming out with the same player. It's just they show themselves and manifest their skills in different ways. So I just don't really expect that we're here, oh, my God, Troutman went up and made a one-handed catch in a bunch. But he is capable of those things. So, again, not trying to say he's going to be Josh Hill. He's just going to not be as flashy as Jimmy Graham. But Juwan, let's look. I say this all the time. You are a good blocker. You've never seen a 6'8", you know, 280-pound guard. They don't build them that way. And the reason a lot of these tight ends who are good blockers are because they big, thick leg, thick ankled guys. And that's why they block well, because they have a strong base. But they can't run because of the thick thighs and the thick ankles and all these things that make them good blockers. So when you find a guy who can do both, it they're special. So I don't think that they have any intention of making Juwan Johnson a guy who's going to be doing a ton of blocking.
Sure.
At this point, I think we all hope that he can get in the way of a few guys and maybe get the edge if they maintain a block or chop somebody down or just get in the way a little bit. And I think that what we're going to see him more in, if he does develop, because again, we're talking about a guy who is undrafted free agent wide receiver. If he continues to develop, it will be to be that guy that catches balls, not blocks. That's what I think.
Yeah. And I agree. I think there was it looks like with our tight ends this year is that we are focused on guys that can block that are kind of athletic. Jared Cook, one problem with him last year, just only one of them I'm going to mention, is one problem with him last year is that it was pretty obvious when he was on the field, there wasn't going to be a screenplay, whether it was to a receiver or to a running back. But Jared Cook couldn't block. That just wasn't his forte. And so we had these weird times where Jared Cook's on the field. You're like, watch out for the seam pass. And then Josh Hill would come in and it's like, hey, watch out for the screen pass. And it got kind of predictable, where I think that we're picking up some guys this year that are big and like, oh my God, if he gets the ball in his hand, he could run around. But, oh, that guy out there can also run into a linebacker and get in the way too. And I'll just tell you, I agree with you. Troutman's not going to have a Jimmy Graham year. Jimmy Graham's 1,400 yards in his second season is just one of the most ridiculous things there's ever been. And I don't think that Jimmy Graham's a bad player, but I will stand on the pedestal saying that Jimmy Graham is a player that I truly believe was at the peak of Drew Brees being the best quarterback on the planet. And Drew Brees made Jimmy Graham. And I think that became very obvious when Jimmy Graham went to a multiple other places, because Jimmy Graham has played with other amazing quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. Drew Brees at the time was the best quarterback on the planet, maybe in history at that time during those few years. And he made that guy by throwing not only an accurate ball, but a very catchable ball.
Right.
With not a crazy spin rate. And again, Jimmy Graham's size and athleticism, I think there's something really special to say about the combination he had. There's a lot of people that have had that didn't have Jimmy Graham numbers. And so I think that I'll give credit to Drew Brees for a lot of what Jimmy Graham is. And I agree with you. Troutman isn't going to have a 1,400-yard season, but I think that he can build to having a pretty decent career as a tight end a few years from now.
Well, okay, in my efforts, and this is the problem, in my efforts to kind of say, temper your expectations of what he is, which still can be very good.
Very good.
It comes across like I'm diminishing his skills. I think that he's going to be an impactful guy. I just don't know if he's going to be the next Gonzalez or the next, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
No, I mean, I've heard things, you know, they talk about comparing him to the guy in Dallas that played forever and then went with him. Yes, Witten, you know, and I can see that, you know, like, and that's another position or type, I should say, not position, but guy that probably doesn't show up a lot in training camp. But when the game comes and it's third down and you throw him the ball, nobody can cover him because he's just a big wide body. Because the reason, again, Troutman can't block is he's a big body guy. But that's also the thing that makes him not Jimmy Graham, because Jimmy Graham, I think Jimmy Graham couldn't block because he was soft. But
yeah, agreed.
100%. He was also a long, lean, you know, skinny leg guy. And so the combination was good for receiving, not so good for blocking. So the point is that I think that what you'll have in Troutman is a true multi-dimensional tight end that doesn't give away the play when he's on the field.
Yep.
And he will have an impact, even though it might not look like Jimmy Graham type impact. So, and not to mention, like you said, Troutman doesn't have the benefit of having Drew Brees in the prime of his career throwing the ball to him either. So one last thing we're going to touch on. We already running long. I'm sure most people don't mind. It's that time of year where people are getting excited about football, but let's talk about a particular guy on this offensive line that could make this Saints offensive line change everything that we're thinking, to something more positive. All the criticism, all the worries and hand wringing about the wide receivers. This offensive line is outstanding. And if Cesar Ruiz can take it to the next level, this is arguably the best offensive line in football.
Agreed 100%. We might be the best offensive line in football with Cesar Ruiz playing okay or average. If he is fulfilling his first round talent and first round draft grade, we are the best offensive line in football. And so far this year, and I think it was extremely smart of the Saints, probably, because what it sounds like is they went all the way back to last season and told him, you're a guard. We're making you a guard. You're a guard next season. All off season, I want you to think about being a guard. And when you show up for the first day of training camp, you're a guard. And it sounds like, you know, we liked to debate whether or not, like, oh, okay, well, he's got to move to center because he wasn't that great at guard. And, oh, you know, Eric McCoy can play anywhere. Probably they're smarter than us because they see things that we don't. This is where we talk about us being fans. Them committing to him being a guard sounds like the right move, because so far we haven't heard about him getting beaten any one-on-ones. There's been, I guess, some of the reporters have said that where they're doing the one-on-ones is kind of in a weird place, so they don't have a amazing view of what's going on. But what they can see, Cesar Ruiz has had some big wins. They have not seen him have any big losses. In some of the 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 drills, they said he's made good adjustments and, like, saved the quarterback from a sack a couple of times, which is last year something we definitely would not have seen, of him making an adjustment and getting out wide to save somebody on a crossing route or something. So this is a really positive thing. Obviously, start of training camp, let's hope it's trending in the right direction. But if this is something, there's a reason he was a first-round draft pick. If this is something that's clicking for him, then us having this great of an offensive line is going to be able to control the game. If our defense isn't great, this is a way to keep them off the field. We have what might be, you know, in some experts' opinion, the greatest running back room in the NFL.
I see what you did there.
I mean, that's a way to get the ball in those running backs' hands. Protect these quarterbacks that we're hoping can get some good experience. This is a kind of, you know, I'm not needing to tell anybody how important the offensive line is, but if this is as good as it can be, this can make a big difference on this season and where we go and as they get better and how we can learn to play with them.
All right. Well, I would ask you if you have any final thoughts, but we're running long. So I think I'm going to go ahead and end it here. I think that we should get a big old attaboy pat on the back just for having two consecutive weeks with a show. Huh? So for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Wesley Coleman, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast crew, and we'll talk to you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.